Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by California 1020. 10 miles, 20 bands, cal1020.com, Sunday, February 15th, from Del Mar Fairgrounds, 10 Encinitas and back. By Core Sports, the best in women's athletic wear. That's coresports.com. And you can check out any of our previous interviews on iTunes at Babbittville Radio. Our next guest, 136 sub-4-minute miles to his credit, held the American record for the mile of 347.69 for, 26 years. The legendary miler, Mr. Steve Scott. Steve, great to have you back on.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
No, it was just a little bit ago. And when we chatted, it was a little early to fill people in on what was going on. But what's interesting is back, I don't know how many years ago, it was 96, 97, when Lance Armstrong was diagnosed, not long after you were diagnosed. Back then it was testicular cancer. And cancer has come back into your life.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I don't get a call from Lance another year from now. Yeah. The same problem I have. Let's hope not. But yeah, it's back in June, I went to my doctor for a routine checkup, and my PSA has been elevating the last couple of years, but it got up to a 4, which is kind of that point that you start being concerned. So she sent me to my urologist, and he actually wasn't going to do anything. He was just going to take a wait-and-see approach, and then he did a physical exam, felt a nodule, went and had a biopsy done on it, and it came back in July as prostate cancer. So it was quite a shock.
Yeah, especially when you went through it. But, I mean, it seems like in both these situations, you've gone through regular checkups, and they caught it fairly early.
Yeah, and both of them, I didn't have any symptoms. I mean, the testicular cancer, my testicle was, it was kind of misshapen, but I didn't have any of the swelling or pain like
what Lance had. Does.
So, it just was, I was just so lucky that, I caught him early. I mean, that's really one of the points that I wanted to get across to people by going public was, get a regular checkup, go see your doctor. Have blood tests done. If you're over 50, start getting a colonoscopy and get your PSA checked. And, for women, with getting a mammogram.
Right.
It's just never too early to start getting checked out. And that's basically, one of the points that I wanted to make is, especially with men, women are very good about taking care of their health, but men are horrible. And, through all this, I think I've had a chance to, make people think at least. My old AD here at Cal State, he hadn't been in the doctor in 10 years. And after he read my story, he said, okay, I'm going to make an appointment, on Monday to see my doctor. So, that's the kind of awareness that I wanted to get out.
Well, what's interesting is we just had Dave McGilvery, the Boston Marathon race director, and, as a guy who had run Boston 42 years in a row, and who would be fitter? And as he said, I was fit enough to run, but I wasn't healthy. And he was diagnosed actually about a year ago with coronary heart disease. And if he hadn't gone in and had that checked out, he was a walking time bomb. And that's, I think, one of the problems is here's a guy who's run 42, Boston marathons in a row. You'd think, oh, my God, he's healthy. And for someone like yourself, especially when you're diagnosed with testicular cancer, you're still a very young man, and now you're still incredibly fit. So that really is not a determiner if you're healthy inside or not.
No, and that's what I said when I announced it on Saturday, is cancer does not discriminate. I mean, it can affect anybody at any time, regardless of your fitness level, how much sleep you get. You could be skinny, you could be overweight. It doesn't matter. I once knew this young lady who was a yoga teacher, holistic medicine, was a, ate organic.
Right.
Didn't eat meat. She passed away from cancer.
Sure.
So it really doesn't matter how well you take care of yourself or how bad you take care of yourself.
right. Yeah, a lot of it is just hereditary. Well, Jim Fix back in the day, I mean, he was sort of one of the early leaders of the running movement, and he passed away very young as well. So, Steve, what is the prognosis right now for you?
Prognosis is very good because I did catch it early. So it's a 85-90% cure rate. And so, you know, again, because I caught it early, because it's contained, you know, if the cancer moves outside of the prostate and gets into your bones or into the surrounding tissue, then it's a, you know, it's a different story. It's more likely to come back. But since it's, you know, it's encapsulated, as they call it, it's much easier to treat. And like I said, you know, prognosis is very good.
And so what do you have to go through? Is it operation? Is it chemo? What do you have to do now?
Well, here was the deal. When I got diagnosed, my urologist gave me two options. And he said you could either go through surgery, which with the location of my tumor, it was right next to a nerve bundle. And actually, it's, you know, right up against it.
Mm.
And if they do surgery, you know, they have to get a margin so that they get all the cancer. So that means tearing into the nerve bundle, which means that, you know, my sex life would be gone.
Right.
I'd be incontinent. I'd have to wear diapers and
the rest
of my life. And at 58, you know, if I was 78, okay, no big deal. But at 58, I wasn't ready for that.
No, no.
And then the traditional radiation, it's very effective against the cancer, but that radiation goes right through you, and it affects other organs. And it's more of a broad treatment. So it, you know, they hit you both ways, and so it's gonna hit your stomach, it's gonna hit your bladder. And what he was saying was, you know, you're gonna be fine for 2 years, but 2 years down the road, you're gonna start to experience some of the same symptoms that would happen if you had the surgery.
Oh, my God.
But those are my two options.
Wait, that's it? Where's the good option?
Yeah, that was all. But because they didn't offer proton therapy, they didn't even make me aware that this was available. And I just happened to find out, Joanne, my wife, her sister's doctor in Wisconsin had a patient who went and got treated by the proton therapy in Minnesota, and he was bugging me. He says, you got to call this guy. There's a new treatment out there, because I had never heard of proton therapy.
To be honest, I hadn't either.
Yeah, and so she kept bugging me, and I finally go, okay, I'll call him. And, I mean, he was so happy with the treatment. There was no side effects, no long-term side effects. You could do everything. You can go to work. You can, you know, you're not fatigued. You don't have hair loss. The radiation is like pinpointed right on the prostate, and it doesn't go all the way through you. It hits the prostate and goes all the way to the end of it, but then stops. I researched it, went down and made an appointment at Scripps Proton Therapy. Talk to them, which the doctor down there, Carl Rossi, is just a running nut. I mean, he is, you would love him.
I love that. Wait a second. So here you have this in this city. You go to see doctors and they tell you, here's your two options, and there's crap one and crap two. And they don't even mention proton therapy. They don't even mention that this is even an option. That is the weirdest thing.
I mean, it's exactly a 20-minute drive.
That is. Is it because it's not underneath their umbrella?
Correct.
Wow, that sounds like a real disservice to a patient. Or do they not believe in it because they considered it more of a radical, but almost like we used to look at people eating organic? You look at it as just sort of something new and different.
I think the bottom, they say that it's not a proven method, but it's been around for 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, MD Anderson?
Yes.
Mayo Clinic is building one. MD Anderson has one. So if it doesn't work, they wouldn't have built it.
No. Those are the biggest. You're talking about MD Anderson. That's where Lance first went before he ended up going to Indiana.
Yeah. So, you know, they say, there's no case studies. Well, the fact of the matter is they just don't want to pay for it because it is costly. And but there's no side effects, long-term or short-term. So in terms of overall patient well-being, it's a better treatment.
So is this something that does not then fall under your insurance?
No, it doesn't.
So you have to fund this yourself?
Yes.
How expensive?
It's pretty costly.
So you can use some help with that?
Well, the whole reason why I went public with it was not to get help.
And I know you, Steve, I know you well enough, that's the last thing you would do. You want to make sure that people get out there and go see their doctors so that they aren't caught by surprise.
And also that be your own healthcare advocate.
Right.
You know, there are other things out there that you just have to research and find out, you know, what's right for you. Find out what all is out there, because your doctors aren't necessarily going to share everything with you, and then, you know, get those checkups, because it's, in my case, now I've been hit with cancer twice.
Yeah.
And in both instances, it's going to be not a big deal at all because I caught it early.
Well, and quite frankly, if you had gone through, I mean, if you listen to to the doctors and they tell you here's option A, here's option B, and you had chosen either one of those options and then found out about proton therapy, you'd be pretty upset.
Oh, yeah. I would be very upset.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, like, yeah, you can never have sex again. Hey, you know what? I just found out that I didn't need to do that. Wow.
Right.
Thanks, Doc.
Exactly.
Any conversations with the doctor since?
They said that you could have sex, but you'd have to give yourself a little shot in your penis to be able to get it.
Oh, that's romantic. So what did any conversations with these doctors after you found out about proton?
Yes, we went into the head urologist,
yeah,
and, you know, talked to him about, because we were asking, is there any way that proton therapy could be paid for by my insurance? And, you know, they said no, and he's the one that was saying that it's, you know, there's no case studies and there's nothing that shows that it's, it's any better than any other treatment. And so at that point, I just said, okay, thank you.
Wow. That's ridiculous. You know, it's interesting. I was doing a Q&A yesterday with Peter Harsh, who's a prosthetic, who makes his own, make prosthetics. And one of the big things, there's so much technology for prosthetics. But again, the insurance guys say that, you know, nothing is proven. You know, there's no real case studies about the last 20 years that people are breaking world records with these prosthetics, that we're not going to fund it because this is unproven technology. I mean,
but the reality is, because it's more expensive,
exactly,
they don't pay for it.
That's the thing. It all comes down to, you know, if we can give somebody leaving the hospital, the basic minimum, that's what we're going to do from a prosthetic perspective or a wheelchair perspective. And in your case, they're going to do what is the most economical, not what's the best for you.
And that's why you started your organization, to help people out, to
exactly,
help pay for stuff. And that's just a wonderful thing that you've done.
Well, the whole group has done, but you're right. But this sounds like a similar type of situation where people are unaware of the whole proton therapy, that option is out there. Think about, there are other people who've gone through the other operations and probably never even heard of proton therapy.
Yeah, and I mean, I really do feel for those men that,
yes,
that had to go through that, and now they're, you know, they're going through what I described, and I feel for them. That's why I wanted to get the word out to as many people as possible.
Wow.
There is this other option. Like you said, had I heard about it after the fact,
big time. You're talking 58 in this day and age. 58 is a young man. You know, you got 30 years easy. So you're talking about 30 years of your life being compromised.
Because 58 is a new 38.
Exactly. And without anybody telling you, without people sharing all the information they have, I can understand them saying, here's what we cover, here's what we don't cover. And you know what? You should do some investigation. But not even to mention it, to me, is, you know, that just seems ridiculous. It's like it doesn't exist, and it's been out there for 20 years. And major cancer hospitals are building, you don't build wings on a hospital for something that's blue green algae or some sort of a guess if it's going to be helpful or not. This is a proven commodity.
Yeah, and Scripps and Rady Hospital invested in this the proton therapy here in San Diego, and it cost $230 million to build.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not going to invest that money if it's not a proven commodity. And the other thing is that the proton therapy, it can treat any cancer. It's not just for prostate. It can treat any cancer that traditional radiation would treat.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's people in there with brain tumors, with lung tumors, with tumors in their neck and in their mouth, and they're all getting treated there. I'd say what they told me was that less than half of the people that go are getting treated for prostate.
Huh. That's amazing. Well, the cool thing is, Steve, that you found it. But if people do want to help out financially, do you have a funding page or anything like that?
I think
Move and Shoes has set some.
Bob Kennedy.
Oh, Bob Kennedy.
Kennedy through Move and Shoes.
Yeah.
You know, he set up a GoFund page.
Okay.
You know,
I just have people go to Move and Shoes. I'm sure there's something on there for Steve Scott's GoFund page.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah. So anyway, the running community, everything that you've done for the running community, not just here in San Diego, but around the country, anything that people can do to help out with that is, you know, certainly worthwhile. Steve, I'm glad that like we talked about with Lance, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel here, that you're in good hands, and it sounds like you're feeling confident about the treatment.
That's the best part. I mean, with my doctor, we hit it off right away, and we spent an hour and a half in my first consultation with him. I felt bad because I'm like, I don't want to take all this your time.
He was ecstatic. He's hanging out with the guy who's run 136 sub 4 minute miles. Are you kidding?
Well, that's what it was. We talked about running and flying for an hour and 15 minutes and about my case for only 10 minutes.
Oh, is he a pilot?
Yeah, he's got his own, he's got a pilot license. So he and Joanne were obviously talking about airplanes and flight experiences. And then we talk about running, then we talk about coaching. And
wow.
Because he's the assistant coach at Claremont McKenna.
Oh, my God. So he's a running coach and he's a pilot.
Yeah.
Besides doing the doctor thing.
And the doctor thing on the side.
He does exactly. Oh, man. Now, so speaking of running, what's happening with your team right now? Is this where are we at? We're in cross country season?
We're in cross country season. We're 2 weeks out from conference.
Yep.
And our conference is in Clinton, Iowa. And then 2 weeks after that are nationals. Our women right now are ranked fifth in the NAI, and the men are 10th. And those are both really good positions in right now. So, we're not high enough. We're going to feel any pressure, but we're close enough that we can make an impact at nationals.
Where you can catch people by surprise. They'll be talking about the other guys in the top three or top, you know, top three, and then you guys just sort of sneak in and win the championship.
That's what we're hoping.
I love that. Nothing could be better, and nothing. It'd be great to see that happen for you, Steve, because you certainly have paid your dues.
Yeah, and especially since we're leaving the NAI, it'd be nice to make a little statement as we leave.
Love that. Hey, Steve, please let us know if there's anything else we can do to help. Love the fact that you found the right doctor and you're on the way. Now, how long is this process in terms of treatment?
It's 8 weeks, and I'm just finishing my sixth week, and it's eight weeks, 5 days a week of treatment.
Why? And you're, again, no side effects?
Nothing.
Love it.
Nope.
Wow.
I'm running, coaching. I put on a meet last Saturday, the Cougar Challenge, and the only thing is it's an inconvenience to drive down there every day, and that's the biggest inconvenience.
Yeah, big deal. Consider the alternative.
That's right. Save my sex life for
exactly.
Driving down for 8 weeks. It's
exactly.
Like,
come on.
That's a fair trade.
Avoid the traffic, drive down early, hang out at Starbucks. What's the big deal? Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Steve Scott has been our guest. Steve, thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on finding the right doctor. And I love the fact that you have no side effects, so you can continue doing what you do best, which is coach a great team to a national championship.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate everything you do, too.
Thank you, buddy. Steve Scott has been our guest. Again, we're brought to you by California 1020, 10 miles, 20 bands, cal1020.com, coming up on Sunday, February 15th. Del Mar Fairgrounds, Encinitas and back, Core Sports, the best in women's athletic wear. And you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes at Babbittville Radio. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.